You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
What's up, droners? Having a good day? Are you thinking about all the cool places you're going to go soon? Or maybe you're tired of the cold and you're ready to escape? Either way, welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
And my name is Rob. And it is a little cold here, but we're inside doing episode number 482. And we're grateful that you're here with us. Hope you're having a great day.
I hope you're having a great day, too. And honestly, I learned something about the weather this week, Mr. Rob Burdick. Our meteorologists are a complete joke.
No, I tell you.
No, I'm serious. We were talking, there was a pilots group conversation about the massive wave of storms that was going to happen this week in the West. And our meteorologists on the planner, like on the week advanced planner on what's going to happen this week, no one was talking about storms. I was just going to cool down a little bit and it'll be okay.
You know.
And we said, we were like, oh, no, like because of the barometric pressure lowering and this and this and this, it's probably going to snow. Last night when I was out in Santa Fe, sure enough, snowy.
Very interesting.
So I think pilots actually have a lot of information about weather, especially with the tests and whatnot.
I think that's just the nature of our world, right? Everybody has a lot of information about everything. And so we have experts running around everywhere. And, you know, with enough information, you can make a call like that and have the same kind of chance of being right as an actual weatherman does.
Definitely.
That's pretty funny, though. I just wouldn't say it's just our weather people. It's what a good gig, man. There is no other gig where you can be that wrong that often and you're fine.
Yes, there is.
What?
Politicians. Boom!
But that's like
boom!
If you're a baseball player, that's like hitting 125 and still getting $1 million contract. Politicians are in a, especially nowadays.
Oh, hey,
in a world of their own.
And you can become a businessman and turn politician, and that's your retirement plan. That's what a lot of people do here in New Mexico. Yeah. So I know a guy who's 24, he's got a retirement plan now. Fully loaded. Politician. Anyway, welcome, guys. Multifaceted question here today. Really talking kind of deep about the industry, real estate jobs, drone-based jobs, lots of stuff. So it's interesting to see the mindset of drone pilots kind of warp and shift, at least the ones that listen to the show, which is quite a lot, over 500,000 now. And it's just fascinating to me. People are really honing in on optimizing their business. And I love it, Rob.
Well, it's an industry that's attracting smart people. I mean, there's engineers, there's people that owned other kinds of businesses. There are business people, there are firemen, there are policemen. There's just a lot of smart people that are getting involved. And so, yeah, they're going to ask the tough, deep questions that are going to make us all better.
That is so true. That is so, so true.
So maybe we should listen to one.
Play that question. Play it.
Hey, what's up, Drone You? My name is Nick. I'm here from the Atlanta area. I had a couple questions for you, but first, let me just commend you on all the awesome work you're doing. I've listened to probably 15 hours worth of your podcast in the past week, just eating it up. Hopefully, I'm going to become a Drone You member here very shortly, just trying to recover a little bit of cost from getting this Phantom 4. And this was before the new one came out, to open up my own drone business. So my first question is, you mentioned Drone Base on one of the previous podcasts that I listened to. What is the likelihood that you can make money using Drone Base? Because I notice some of them say, you know, you take the pictures or whatever, submit them, and then if they're able to sell them, you make money off of them. And it kind of gives you a tier system as far as, like, the likelihood of you getting paid out on it or whatever. You know, how accurate is that? Or should I just wait and try and focus on the ones that are, you know, the guaranteed, the client requested ones? Second question I had for you, as I'm running out of time, is working with local police stations or sheriff's departments, how would you suggest charging for your time or, you know, whatever, working for them, doing, say, overviews of fatality accidents or kind of getting an idea on an aerial, and they're getting an aerial shot of, say, an area where they're about to do a serve a warrant or things like that. And I know state laws are going to play into effect there, and I've done research on that here in Georgia, but there's still a lot of applications that could be used for them, and I'm planning on approaching the police department next week. So I was just curious, as far as like a price point, what might be a good place to start. But yeah, that's my two questions. Sorry I went a little over time here. And like you said, you guys are doing great. I really appreciate all the information y'all are passing out. You guys are rock stars. Thank you.
You're a rock star, Rob. Must be the hair.
Probably.
I think so.
Especially when it's freshly shaven.
Yeah, definitely. You look. You could tell I'm not freshly shaven. So, see?
No, not at all, actually. Hence the hat.
I know. My hat, I took off my pants. Kidding. For everyone on listening over the radio, they're like, what? Just trying to see if you're listening.
Yes, Nick, thank you for the question. Good one. So, quickly, drone base. We like drone base. We're not saying it's the answer to everybody's get your business started question, but there's some good things about drone base.
There are a lot of great things about drone base. In fact, if you actually check out go.dronebase.com/DroneU, which Drone Base is one of the sponsors of the show, so I just want to throw that out there. They are a great resource for people who want to fill time, for people who, you know, want these new jobs, these low-end jobs. I think it's great. You're right. It's not an answer for everyone. But it's a great solution for a lot of guys who are trying to get started and trying to figure out if this is something that they can, like, really do that's viable. So to answer his question, you know, can you really get paid from Drone Base? The answer is yes.
It is. And one of the things that we love about the community is it sort of becomes a testing ground. And Drone Base is a perfect example of that, because a lot of the folks in the community have taken it upon themselves to go try Drone Base and see if it works for them. And so there's a lot of feedback within the DroneU community through our private Facebook page of people that have had it work for them.
Yeah.
And there are people in there that have said, I went and did some shoots of panos or whatever, and I didn't make as much as I thought I would. But there are people that are saying, I did better than I thought I would. So it's like anything, you're going to get a mixed bag. But the bottom line answer is, yes, you can make money. And he said, what is the likelihood? I don't know, 50-50? Probably higher than that. 70-30?
Yeah.
70-30 maybe? 75-25?
Yeah. I think when all of our data comes out on the tests that we've been doing industry-wide on these drone sites, that it'll give people an idea of what they can really expect. So, yeah. And I think people want to know that.
Yeah.
But we, again, I do want to say Drone Base is a sponsor of the Ask Drone U podcast.
Right.
But we do want to be real with people where we think it's useful. Mm-hmm. It's been useful for a lot of our members trying to create businesses and whatnot. I did a drone based job last night, but I did a classified job that I can't talk about that's not even on the website.
Right.
So it's given me opportunities, and it was not a low end opportunity at all.
Yeah.
In fact, it was upper echelon tier.
Right. So, and so when he asked the question, should I just wait and do the client request jobs? Well, I mean, that's up to you. Ultimately, there are some of those other jobs that Paul's been talking about on previous podcasts where, like you said, around here, there were, I don't know, 15, 20, just within 25, maybe within
a block
of our office.
One block.
And so if you can efficiently go out, you've got some time to kill. You're either going to sit in front of the TV or go fly some panos. Why not? Give it a try. If that's not your situation, then yeah, maybe you wait for the ones that are being requested by clients that are more in line with what you're wanting and trying to do.
Definitely. Let's take the second part of his question, right? He wants to approach the police. Just FYI, if you want to approach the police, you're going to have to go to the top. It's really good to try to talk to someone who's an advocate, because they're going to press the issue when you're not there, when it's behind the scenes. I think that's so critical. It's going to be a slow, tedious process. Don't expect anything quick. Chances are the police department will probably have to get a COA until the FAA clarifies. You know, I know a lot of agencies are doing it anyway, where they're just hiring a 107 pilot. But they still haven't really clarified that line yet, like most things in the gray area. Anyway, that being said, I love the idea of using drones over crime scenes. You know, he's like, I want to provide an aerial image of like a crime scene from over the top. I think that's great in concept. Mm-hmm. But with the new like Phantom 4 Pro, the Inspire 2, or even the Inspire 1, Imagine if you mapped that scene out. You could get the accident out of the way faster. You could take measurements of distances for where the car started skidding to where it ended up, so you can actually decide how fast it was going. You can use trigonometry to really plan out the sequence of events, which is what they do anyway.
Right.
And they normally take surveying equipment out there. So what takes hours and hours, and why these highways are clogged for a long time when these things happen, is because there's just really not a quick, efficient way to get all this stuff done.
Yeah, and not to mention it's safer. I mean, you're putting a piece of equipment up in the air that's going to get you all this data, and you don't put a person in danger.
True. No, I think there are many great benefits. Now, it's going to be a process, like in any business that's implementing a new tool. There are going to be pros and cons, takeaways, and here's what we can do better. Here's what we need to do better. There's probably going to be a transition period where they still do the traditional way before they move over to the new way, until it's proven time and time again. I think it's going to be slow. I think it's going to be a slow progression, because we've been working with the police here in Albuquerque, but we've only been doing like their promo videos. I helped search for a firearm one time, search and rescue mission. In fact, it was funny. There was a guy who showed up to Drone U yesterday, and he was like, "Oh, I'm doing search and rescue missions in McKinley County." I'm like, "Oh, what's their COA? This, that, what are you flying?" He's like, "Oh, well, thermal." I'm like, "Oh, what kind of thermal camera you got? We got one in here." He's like, "Oh, I don't know.
The thermal kind of thermal."
Yeah.
The thermal one.
It's just funny because when people try to throw out like terms like, "Oh, we use thermal," and I'm like, "Is it radiometric?" And they're like, and you're like, "Okay."
Well, and part of the thing is that things are so easy to use now, you might not even need to know all that stuff to get use out of it. Probably should.
So you're 100% right, but you definitely should know what you're working with, because if you don't, you're not going to know how to fix a problem. And you're not going to know
how to optimize the tool, the resource.
Yeah, you can't turn your toy into a tool unless you know how to build it.
Of course, yeah.
So,
or at least understand how it works.
Okay, yeah, I took that to the extreme. You're right.
So, but he's actually asking. Nick is, what should I charge for these kinds of things? That's a tough question because it is so new. The market for that stuff really has not been developed.
No, it hasn't. But I think he's going to have to develop a per scene price point. And it's going to be something that they're going to have to try to make sure it's viable.
Per scene, as opposed to per image. Because that's a little bit of a different spin on how to do something, which is interesting.
The reason I bring it up is here's why. Two reasons. Number one, it's going to be a macro volume-based business. It's got to be something he can deliver at any given point in time. Mm-hmm. So he's got to be ready to go 24/7. There's a lot that goes into it. And yeah, I definitely think it should be a per job price, because if he really is going to scale his business up to do this, which is going to take years, he's got to present a price now that's going to make sense to the government to pay that.
Right.
And then further down the line, when he's got other pilots, when he's got other things going on, he's got to be able to turn that one crime scene into an itemized budget where he's hiring another pilot, they're using his equipment, you know, he's scaling the business.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
there's construction going on in our office, and I want to strangle people.
Yeah, so bear with us, guys.
Yes.
Interesting week of podcasting here at Drone U.
Okay, so we're going to play. We haven't done some pranks here in a while, and we're going to do a prank on our new neighbors tomorrow. So they have been taking up. They all park in 1.5 spots, every single one of them.
I'm venting on the podcast.
I'm venting on the podcast. So tomorrow I'm going to show up early, and I'm going to take up 3 parking spots with my big-ass truck and be like, get the out of the way. I didn't say it. Anyway, I was going to leave some pithy note because I was mad, but I was like, no, actions speak louder than words.
Yeah, interesting. Well, I'm really curious to see how this goes for Nick, because he's going to have some discussions. There are going to be some challenges even getting to the right people initially, the people that can actually make the decisions as to whether or not they're going to want to use these kinds of services. There's going to be a lot of education involved, helping them understand why they should use these services and how they could be helpful. And ultimately, he's going to be competing with the police forces themselves, because they'll start to train their own people most likely to use drones once they really grasp and believe in the value that they bring. That's something that you're going to have to compete with as well. But definitely like the way he's thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just like any business, you know, someone's got to go in there and do the dirty work, the hard work of saying, here's how we're going to do the job. Here's, I mean, just like what we did in Rancho Cucamonga. In fact, there's still some things that, you know, I wrote up something for them for their site plan on how they're going to operate their drone for every job. And like, I keep going back to it over and over and over. And I'm like, well, what about this? What about that? Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. How are they going to do this? Like, they can't charge in the truck. Like, So it's just really bringing a whole new perspective to things and solving little problems and creating new nuances. And he's going to have to do that for the cops. I mean, you know, a lot of police forces are not using drones at all, let alone using them for good purposes. And the farther liberal you go in ideology,
I was gonna say that, the harder it's gonna be.
A lot harder. Like, if you're in California, bud, I would not even try.
Of course, he's in Atlanta, so
yeah. Well, a little bit more conservative, so yeah. That being said, in California, we were told that the police will never own drones, that the firefighters own the drones, and whenever the police need the drone, they call the firefighters to show up to work for them, because the public perception is that the public is not being spied on because the firefighters are using it.
Yeah, really interesting.
And that, it's disgusting to me.
Yeah.
It's disgusting to me because...
because they can help people.
They can help people, and we're conforming to a misconstrued perception.
Yeah.
You know? But anyway.
And I don't know that I believe that they will never have them. It's just a matter. I don't think it's an if, but when.
Yeah.
Maybe it's 10 years instead of 10 months like it should be. But never is a big word. So in all, my effort is always to try to answer the podcast question asker's question as directly as possible. So I'm going to put this on you. If you are working with a local police force, and you are going to try to incorporate something like this into
my model,
what you've got going on, what would you charge them for? Just pick the example, maybe a scene series of shots or something.
That's a rough question because I don't know how long I would be there. But
okay,
I'm looking 4 figures minimum.
Really?
Well, you're working for a government agency and you have to provide data that has to be used as evidence in court. So you're going to have to be thorough and systematic each and every single time you go out there. Your map is going to have to be the same. You're going to have to get your GCPs. You're going to have to create maps and take images. You're going to have to create a system to upload that footage to the police as soon as possible so that you have to prove that the photos and images were never tampered with, that it's actually legitimate evidence.
True.
So there is a whole workflow that goes into this that normally would not go into normal drone projects. You have a level of security that you have to conform to for these types of projects. So it's funny. I'm like, well, what do I normally charge an hour? And then I'm sitting here thinking like, that's not good. Because I charge $375 an hour. That's my minimum. Mm-hmm. And I don't even walk out the door unless some, like, it's actually kind of funny. I'm not going to go into it. Anyway, my point here is that I would be looking at anywhere from $1,000 to $1,500 per you could even go up to $5,000. I mean, $10,000.
Depending on what the needs are.
Yeah, depending on what the needs are. Because here's the thing, like, how much crime is in the city? How often is it going to have to be done? I'm also thinking about, you know, again, that it's going to be a level of data that has to be bulletproof each and every single time.
So I wonder if, because this is not something, for example, that at this point they're going to be putting RFPs out for, requests for proposals. So going to have to go to them and educate them and maybe try to get set up on some annual contract or something. It's really an interesting question.
Or you get set up on one of those if-then contracts. Like,
sure.
Here's the example. Two examples. Number one is, in fact, I'm thinking of Brett when I think about this, as medical helicopters, number one. And then number two, infrastructure inspection and natural disaster inspection, what are called bump flights, which essentially a bump flight in the power industry here at PNM, if I go out and fly my Bell 206 long range turbine helicopter and I fly by the wire, which is what it's called when you're flying by power lines. Mm-hmm. Normally, I think it's, if I remember this correctly, it was $2,500 an hour.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
now much larger aircraft, much more liability. So the question I'm sure a lot of people are thinking is, well, are the police really going to find the value in shortening down and making crime scene management and crime scene investigation more efficient? And the answer is yes, innately. And do you know why, Rob? Because society will see the value, because society is so narcissistic that they would much rather see their tax dollars spent to get home 10 to 15 minutes earlier than negate the drone. I think it's all about how the service is sold to the public, which means when he is implementing this system and works with the police, when the press finally finds out about them using drones in crime scene investigation, they're going to do a story on it. And right. He has got to be there to control the message that this is about creating a more efficient workflow for the police, so that if there's an accident or a crime scene, we can do two things. Number one, we can get the answers we need. We can get better quality of evidence. We can prove that the evidence wasn't tampered with, because we're going to send a drone in there to take pictures of the entire crime scene before any cop touches it.
Yeah.
So that creates a level of trust with the public, right? So they're like, oh, okay, so they can't screw it up. Mm-hmm. You know, now it has to be objective. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So they're seeing value in, okay, decreased traffic. They're seeing value in trust with the police, but they're also seeing value in what I would call community policing. This is something that we learned in criminology, which is that, you know, the whole idea of having police in the community as much as possible, working with people, developing relationships, but also clearing up crime scenes as fast as possible and getting in and getting out of somewhere as fast as possible, so that the perception is of a safe neighborhood. Now, community policing doesn't really work in Albuquerque because we don't have the number of police to create the perception.
Right.
So
interesting. Well,
sorry, I just went like,
no, it's interesting stuff. And I'm really curious to see how this all develops and unfolds. It's fascinating because you've got a public that is okay, perfectly okay with a helicopter being above them. They're curious and they wonder what's going on. You know, you hear it and you think, oh boy, something must be going on in my neighborhood. But you don't worry about it. You don't worry about being spied on or that there's some ulterior motive behind the helicopter. You get a drone up in the air.
You're spying on me!
And all of a sudden it's spying. It's fascinating. But in time, that will go away.
My favorite, are you spying on me, when someone comes up and angrily says, are you spying on me? My favorite thing to say is, don't be so vain.
Yeah. Don't flatter yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Nick, please keep us informed and let us know how this progresses. Let us know how meetings go, conversations go. Maybe that brings about additional questions. We'd love to hear those as well. So
absolutely.
As you know, ask droneu.com. Get them in.
And guys, please do me a favor and rate the podcast or review wherever you download or listen to the podcast. Also, please subscribe. That way you don't have to worry about downloading the episodes all the time, especially if you listen to them in your car. They pop up autonomously. They download when we upload them to iTunes. So definitely something worth checking out. It's going to help you save time, optimize that time, so you can get more done. Anyway, guys, that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob.
This is Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.